In order to kind of understand the readings that we've been given this weekend, we kind of we need to have a little bit of awareness where we are liturgically, and that is we are at the end of the liturgical year. So this is the last ordinary Sunday of ordinary time. Next weekend we have the solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. So this is the end of the liturgical year, and so we'll see the readings, even the daily readings, kind of having a focus towards the end of time, the second coming, the apocalypse, so to speak. So, and actually, for that matter, the beginning of the liturgical year actually starts with kind of much the same view towards the end. So the first week of Advent, there's again a look at, towards the end, towards the second coming of Christ. So when we look at these readings, we see, you know, starting with our first reading from the book of Daniel, this what seems very doomful and gloomful. You know, at that time there will arise Michael, the prince, the great mighty prince, the guardian of the people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress since the beginning of nations until that time. And so, and again, the gospel today, there's this language of Jesus. The sky shall be darkened, the moon will not give light, stars will be falling from the sky, the powers of heaven will be shaken. It's a lot of very vivid imagery. The whole book of Revelations, again, there's a lot of apocalyptic type language. And it can cause a lot of people a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety. But there's a reason why the church has us focus on the end, at the end of the liturgical year. For two reasons. One is there is going to be an end of days, the end of time. But also for us individually, we will have an end. So there's two judgments, a particular judgment each one of us will face at the moment of our death. We will stand before the throne of Almighty God. A particular judgment, but also the judgment at the end of time when Christ comes back again as king. So these two sort of judgments, these two sort of judgments of Christ, they bring our mortality to mind. They should make us think about, ponder about, are we prepared to see Christ? Are we prepared for that second coming? Or does something like this shake us to our core? It can be very scary, of course. But I think the key to the readings of this weekend, the key to the message here, believe it or not, is the psalm. The hinge to understanding, the hinge where we find peace. So there's turmoil in the first reading, turmoil in the second reading, not so much in the second reading, I guess, but especially in the gospel, this looking towards the end, and then we find the psalm kind of nestled in the middle. You are my inheritance, O Lord. These are the words of David. O Lord, my allotted portion in my cup. It is you who hold fast my lot. Now these words, I actually don't like this particular translation of the psalms. You, O Lord, are my portion and cup. It is you yourself who are my prize. The lot marked out for me is my delight. Welcome indeed the heritage that falls to me. These words that King David put in his psalm, in his prayer, he borrowed from the book of Deuteronomy. They are a priestly prayer. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, it talks about the 12 tribes of Israel. When they came to the promised land, each tribe was given an inheritance. Each tribe was given a section of land, except the Levites. The Levites had no inheritance. They had no land. Instead, God promised them he would be their inheritance. The Levites were the priests of the people. They were the smallest tribe, and they were the priests of the people. They had no inheritance. Their inheritance came from the other people. And yet here David is using the prayer of the priest as his own. But David is not a Levite. David is from the tribe of Judah. He had his inheritance, and yet he made the prayer his own. You, O Lord, are my portion and cup. My inheritance is God alone. What effect does that have on him? If that is our inheritance, if that's what David claims as his portion that he will go to his grave with, what is the effect of that in his life? The next stanza gives us the answer. Therefore, My heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful to undergo corruption. In other words, David recognizes God as his sole portion, his sole inheritance. He casts all else aside and he finds peace. He finds that his body too abides in confidence. His heart is glad. Brothers and sisters, that is the story of Christianity. Each one of us, by our baptism, we are baptized to be a priestly people, to claim the Lord as our inheritance. And that can be scary. Yes, at the end of time, it should be able to give us peace towards our death, but in our daily lives as well. I mean, we can't see the end of time. We can't see into the future. It's like, I heard a story, a priest one time describe it as, when he was a kid, he was working on the steps up to down that go down into the basement of his house. And they removed the steps, and his dad was down there in the basement, and his dad said he couldn't get down because there were no steps that were taken out. And his dad said, "Jump, I'll catch you." And said, "Dad, I can't see you. I don't know that you're there." And he said, "Jump, I will catch you." There's something about making that jump, making the Lord our portion, making the Lord our inheritance. It's scary. Because we can't see. Lord, will I have a job next week? Lord, is this surgery going to go all right? Is mom, dad going to be all right? We're called to trust. To choose the Lord as our only portion. Even if we're King David and we have all the land, we have control of a whole kingdom, the Lord is still our portion. We are still called to trust. In our daily lives, and when we think about our death, when we think about the second coming of Christ. And that should give us peace, make our heart glad and our soul rejoice. That is the prize of stewardship, of living in such a way that your life is in accord with God's teachings, his commandments. And so with that as a transition, Bishop Jakel's our stewardship renewal across the diocese, Bishop Kimmy, mea culpa, right? Bishop Kimmy has asked that we invite parishioners to be able to come up and share part of their life of living a stewardship way of life. And so with that, I would like to invite Matt and Carrie By to come share a little bit of their story of stewardship, their journey of living a stewardship way of life.
Hello, everyone. As Father said, we are Matt and Carrie By, and we're fairly new to the Blessed Sacrament family, having joined exactly 2 years ago. We could not be happier about choosing Blessed Sacrament as our church home, and we promote it to our friends and family every chance we get. Last week, Jennifer spoke about how stewardship is more about giving than receiving, more specifically, receiving God's gifts gratefully and gracefully. I'd like to tell you about a time how Matt and I have learned how those gifts are sometimes disguised as tragedy. Last October, 2 days after Oktoberfest, we unexpectedly lost our unborn daughter, Adeline, at 30 weeks gestation. We were shocked and devastated. We are very blessed with amazing family that were there for us, and it was not just our immediate family and loyal friends, but our new Blessed Sacrament family. You were there for us then and have continued to be there for us this past year through prayer, kind words and hugs, and great friends that can make us laugh when we really need it the most. This was the first time in my life I really felt the gift of stewardship.
Father Dooling is a friend of mine from high school and was there for us at the hospital last October and officiated Adeline's funeral. He reminded us that everything happens for a reason, even though that reason is not always for us to understand. We took those words to heart and decided that we were not going to wallow in our sadness, but instead treat this as a gift from God. It's the gift of knowing that our daughter is now in heaven, the gift of having an even bigger reason to get to heaven, and the gift of growing closer than ever before as a couple. And we wanted to share this gift. And just this past year, Carrie's helped a number of families through difficulty and is a shining example of how to receive God's unexpected gifts gracefully and gratefully. And then it came time to fill out our stewardship forms for this year. Another gift that we had learned from our daughter is the reminder that we, as individuals, are not the owners or masters of our lives and time. We are simply the managers of our lives, and each life belongs to God. All that we are and all that we have is a gift from Him. How are we going to use that time, talent, and treasure to glorify and serve Him? When we've kept this in mind as we are budgeting our money and budgeting our time, it has become easier to make stewardship a priority. That being said, I encourage you to get your stewardship forms in by next week, if you haven't already. I've coached high school football for the past decade. In fact, I just stepped off the field 20 minutes ago, so I apologize if I still have hat hair. So I was very grateful when Father Yurok used a football analogy in his stewardship letter to us. He used it to describe our upperclassmen level of commitment and responsibility. And we like to think of the stewardship form as our playbook or game plan for the year. You don't set yourself up for success without a clear game plan, and we believe that also applies to stewardship. We find ourselves answering the call for stewardship a lot lately, and it has been one of the most rewarding years of our lives. As a young couple, we can't stand here and claim to have it all figured out, but it truly seems that the more we give, we inevitably receive at least double. We're very excited for all the great relationships and friendships we're building, and the peace of mind in knowing that if we ever need anything, we have an army of supporters that have our back. So I say yes when Joe Hitt calls, I say yes when Pat Harder calls, and I especially say yes when Father calls. And it all started with saying yes when Brandon and Jill Martin called and welcomed us to the parish and suggested that we go to Men's Club and Altar Society.
We are so honored to be a part of a parish that makes stewardship such a priority. We are eager to continue our growth journey as Catholic stewards, and we look forward to raising our son, who is arriving in February, according to the Blessed Sacrament Stewardship Way of Life. Thank you for your time this evening, and God bless.